makeup and they had to pull him.
Well, the makeup was probably mercury dust.
it probably
saved his life that he got out of that stuff.
Oh, it was, yeah.
This is a fine powdered mixture of asbestos, mercury dust, you know, and something called,
it was aluminum, wasn't it?
I think it was
aluminum dust. Yeah. That's nice. That's healthy.
Whatever the binding agent was to put it on his skin was probably some nasty petroleum distillate.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got the best Christmas gift anyone could ever ask for.
What was that?
Real, live sea monkeys.
Oh, you lucky man.
I have it right here in my hand.
Uh-huh.
And you get a life insurance policy and growth guarantee with it.
You know, as a kid, when I saw those in the back pages of my Marvel comic magazines with a nuclear family, Dad's sea monkey with a hat and a pipe. And Mom with an apron, very primly and modestly attired, and Junior Sea Monkey right down to the little cap and the busted tooth and the slingshot in the back of his pocket. I actually half expected that this is what would come. And instead, I got minute, you know, almost unviewable little crustaceans. And that's what they are, aren't they?
Yeah, that they're just little shrimp. When I was about, I don't know, maybe five, 6 years old, something like that. I had a set of sea monkeys, and I ordered them right out of the back of the comic book, and that's what I thought I was getting, was these little folks that ran around in cars and, you know, and
you
the
can,
whole works.
And you could teach them to do tricks.
That's right.
That was my favorite part, which consisted of taking a flashlight, and they would follow your beam around. No, it's because, as we all know now through scientific research, sea monkeys have a mortal dread of the darkness. They start shrieking loudly, so that's why they will follow the light anywhere. We have sea monkeys at the Star Tribune, believe it or not.
Really?
On a pedestal. In the library, in a very nice pedestal that once, I think, held the head of one of the founders of the newspapers. They put that downstairs. There was a perfectly good pedestal left over, so they enshrined sea monkeys on it.
I wonder if whoever put them there is a graduate of the Crustacean College Fellowship.
Quite possibly. Well, it is good. It's a good pet in this respect. When all your sea monkeys die from neglect, you just add water and they come back to life.
Yep.
It's like if you came home from a trip and forgot that you had a dog, and there was just simply a small little curled up canine skeleton in the corner. If you splashed a bucket on him and he sprang back to life and started barking and licking your face, it would be really good.
Don't try that to Buster.
Oh, no. Or my dear Jasper. My dear Jasper.
Jasper, sorry.
I got to go to a break, Jim. Always good to hear from you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. On the other side of the break, Merlin to discuss Runzas. We're not discussing Runza, the sandwich that is Funza in a bunza. Well, that's their ad campaign, not mine. James Lilacs here in the diner on KSTP AM 1500.
There's an invisible barrier when it comes to buying new tires. It starts with the person behind the counter who wants to know if you want the P2-1565 or the P1-9570R14. Come on, you just want to get back on the road. Meet NTB, National Tire and Battery, the low pressure zone for buying new tires. We have the brand names, we have the low prices, and we treat you like people, not roadkill. You want to walk behind the glass and talk to the folks working on your car? Go ahead. You want on-time service? It's yours. You want wide selection at great prices? Okay. You want us to watch the kids while you're shopping at the mall? Well, we had to draw the line somewhere. NTB, National Tire and Battery. We're everything you want, nothing like you'd expect.
When people think of the Shane Company, they know our strongest department's our bridal department. I've said many times that we have the largest selection of wedding sets and engagement rings in the state. I also realize that every woman wants to find a style that fits her personal taste, so it really will feel unique to her. That's why the Shane Company buyers select styles from designers and ring manufacturers from all over the world. When you compare our styles of wedding sets to what you'll find in the malls, you'll see the real difference. We have the largest selection, sure, but more important, we've got different styles. We display over 100 different designers' lines. So what you select will be special and will be a true reflection of your individual personality.
Now you have a friend in the diamond business, the Shane Company, in Minnetonka at 394 at Hopkins Crossroad and in Woodbury at I-94 and Radio Drive. Open weekdays till 8, weekends till 5.
It seems as though every year about this time we are blessed with yet another study on the burgeoning income gap. This year's incarnation comes from the Center for Budget Policies and Priorities in Washington, D.C. Hi, I'm Jason Lewis. What do you think of the income gap? Are the rich becoming richer and the poor poorer? Is it a problem? Or is it much ado about nothing and an excuse to redistribute income? We'll debate it with one of the co-authors of that study from the center in Washington, D.C. That's Monday from 5 to 8 p.m. on The Jason Lewis Show on AM 1500 KSTP.
.2 degrees here at the diner. Break out the beer. What is most beer, you know, as far as proof? Not about 7 or 8 proof or something, but isn't most beer about 3.4% alcohol? 3.5?
You know, I'm not even sure. I just drink it. I don't pay attention.
All I know is that when I was working at the Valley, I served many a pitcher of 3.2, and I saw many a patron walk out and end up on their face about 3 paces outside of the door. This stuff has its potency. Unfortunately, the liquor license hasn't come through here at the diner. I'm hoping by summer it will, so that after you're done doing the lawn or errands of the sort, you can drop by
the diner. Of course, there always is the back door.
Yes, we don't want to tell everybody about the back door. No, do we? James Lilac's back here at the diner on a Saturday afternoon. Let's head off to Merlin. How you doing, Merlin?
Hey, good afternoon. I heard that they stiffened the penalties for BWI, which is broadcasting while intoxicated, so that probably has to do with a holdup on your license.
And I can just imagine a whole bunch of public officials holding up the little intoxilizers to the radio in order to pick up the alcoholic emanations of the person on the other.
They'll probably build it right into the microphones when the new equipment comes in.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
A little information on Runza's. Mm-hmm. In the summer of 1990, I was working in Kenya, Africa, as a volunteer missionary, doing some construction work. And in a little cafe called the Pima Inn, in the little village of Mawa, where I was working on the equator, they had...
You were working on the equator? Was it broken?
No, it was quite okay. But they had a little sandwich called a samosa,
mm-hmm.
and it was a little meat and cabbage pie, and it was folded over, triangular shaped, and it was deep fried.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the staple of my diet during the work week.
Yeah, I've heard of those. I've had them. And I always thought it was curious that their name should resemble the name of a Nicaraguan dictator.
Of a regime, yes.
And I always wondered if he knew this. I mean...
I don't know. He was, you know, the amount of them we consumed, he must be a very rich man if he's getting royalty. Because it was interesting, but that was one of the tastiest things I ever ate while I was there. And then I came back to the States, and I haven't had one since.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can find them around here.
What do they call them?
Samosas. I see them at various... I think you can go to Lund's and find them in the frozen foods department, in the ethnic foods, as they call it. You can still find them about.
Well, if you ever make a trip to East Africa, I know a place that makes good ones.
I probably won't be heading to East Africa anytime soon. You know, all this talk about samosas, and especially runzas, leads to me to pose a great experiment question. I'll give you first crack at it, Merlin.
Okay.
Pinza is not a variety of runza, actually, but Pinza is somehow connected to Sonny Bono. Can you make the connection?
You're asking the wrong man.
No, I probably, once you hear the answer, will know exactly what I'm talking about, but I'll leave that hanging out there.
Okay.
All right, thanks, bro.
All right, thank you.
Talk to you. Bye-bye. That's a great experiment question. Pinza and Sonny Bono, what's the connection? Sonny Bono, recently deceased congressperson, and Pinza. Not a food stuff. I can't say any more than that. It would give it away. A Red Hot toothpick will be distributed to the first person who can give me the connection between Sonny Bono and the word Pinza. You have to think. You have to think very hard about this. Actually, you have to sing a little to yourself. 646-8255, 646-TALK, 1-800-962-0792, and pound 1500, AT&T Wireless Services free call. It's our faithful patron, George from Minneapolis. How you doing, George?
Well, pretty good, except I never thought I'd be thinking so much about Sonny Bono this late in life.
It's happened. You know, when I was looking at the eulogies yesterday, and they would go to the picture of him in full smiling, just incandescent smile,
mm-hmm.
I think everybody should choose right now the photograph that they want to have displayed at their
own.
I mean, you want the choice to be made by your own bad self, frankly.
Right.
Something where you just don't look too much like a grinning idiot, because the pictures that people love of you may not be the last way you want to be remembered.
Or maybe we should have our mug shots taken ahead of time, so we're kind of smiling if we ever have to show up in the paper in the police column.
Which reminds me, you know, when I go back every day and look back in the old Stars and the old Tribunes, there was a tradition back in the 30s, 40s, and dropped in the 50s, apparently. I don't know where it came from, but when somebody was injured in an automobile accident or a train wreck or something, and they ended up in the hospital, they dispatched a photographer to go take a picture of the person in the hospital bed.
Oh, yes.
So there's always a photo of somebody with the covers up to their chin, hair horrible, eyes at half-mast, you know, like scar on the side of their head, and you could see the cheap, cold metal headboard of the bed, and just a little tiny face shot of everybody at their absolute worst. The only way some people ever got in the paper was to be knocked down by a cab and then have themselves swollen-faced, chipmunk-headed, sitting on the front page of the paper.
So was there a convention of newspaper editors where they had a little smoke-filled room and they all decided, let's keep these pictures out of the paper in the future?
I don't know. My study of newspapers that I'm involved in every day, mind you, it's research, not entertainment for my own good.
Right.
Leads me to just watch these winds that blow through papers and make them do things that they ought not to have done. The redesigns, the dumbing down. For example, back in the 20s, one of the papers at the bottom used to encapsulate the entire day's news in rhyme. There would be an 8-line poem that rhymed describing what was happening that day.
Oh, my God. What if it was something very gruesome, like a huge earthquake? Did they make light of that?
Billions die in distant China. Weather here looks mighty fine. I mean, yes, they would. Yeah. So anyway, you'd called with another of your patented number exercises.
Right. Well, we were talking about singing in unison somewhere along the line here. And remember the Coca-Cola commercial, the famous one?
I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Right. And I was wondering.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't. Well, what if you taught a large number of people to sing?
Mm-hmm.
How loud would it be?
Oh, that's a good question.
I thought, what if you took all of China and you taught them to sing a Coca-Cola song, for instance?
Population of China is what, 1.2 billion now?
1.2 billion, that's the number I picked here.
All right.
And how far could you hear one person who was singing, would you guess?
Well, ask the Ricola boys here. Hi, Sop, LD.
Ricola.
Well, I can run outside and...
Ricola.
What? Okay, hey, hold on. Hi, Sop, Elder, Rick, why don't you go outside all the way down Highway 23 and then start singing and we'll see if we can do it. Okay.
Swim to the middle of the lake.
Yeah, just get them out of here. So anyway, go on. I don't know how far away it is that you could hear.
Well, I figured maybe one football field length.
Okay, that's about right.
Okay, 300 feet. So you take 300 feet and you take 1.2 billion people, and it turns out if you look at the way sound travels, it drops off very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny relationship. And you'd have to pack all these people in together very tightly.
Yes.
And if you took all of China, you could pack them in to a square about 20 miles on a side.
Mm-hmm.
And if they all started singing, you could hear them 60.34 miles away.
That's it?
That's all.
60.34 miles?
Right. Yeah, it goes off as a cube of the distance, so a billion people... You can only hear them 1,000 times as far, and that's only 60 miles.
So the expense involved, actually, in getting the entire population of China to squeeze into a 20-mile cube...
Right.
You'd have to... See, I was thinking when you first proposed this that maybe we could abandon all of our SETI programs and just attempt to communicate with deep space
yeah,
civilizations by shouting at them.
Yeah, I figured we could hear across the Pacific, at least.
We never thought about that. You know, get up on somebody's shoulders, get a nice line of people about 10 miles high, and then just everybody holler at different planets. It'd be much cheaper.
Yeah, there's a little problem of no air being up there.
Well, there's that, but you could hold your breath while you clamber up the backs of your comrades.
Okay.
But only 60 miles seems like hardly worth the effort.
Right. Well,
on the other hand, it would be an incredible public work if they wanted to just get people busy.
Right.
If you have a population problem, I'm guessing that people packed that tightly and, you know, under armed orders to sing, they probably wouldn't be procreating.
Right.
And what would they sing, though?
Probably not that Coca-Cola song. Maybe some Nike jingle.
The Nike jingles are getting very, very short. Have you noticed this? It used to be Just Do It.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Nike jingle is, I think, I Can.
Who can argue with that?
Who can? And now, after that, they're going to have to reduce it down to just one word. I think the next Nike jingle will be, Hey! That will be it. That will be their slogan. And there will be reams of copy written in newspapers about the genius of the ad campaign, about how it distills the shoe down to its essence. Hey!
Hey.
Yeah, that'll be it. And then maybe just a blurted phoneme, a grunt, will be something after that. And then maybe just a facial gesture.
Maybe just one letter. They'll copyright one letter.
That's right. It's just one of the ones that doesn't get much use. Is Z or...
We don't need the Z very much.
Or Q. I mean, Q is useless without the sidecar of U, right?
Right.
Maybe Q could have a life all of its own if it just got rid of the U and went to work for Nike.
If we sold the U, let's see, who would sell it? Who would get the proceeds?
That's a good thought. Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get one more before the break, George.
Okay.
As ever, I thank you. I'm really disappointed, though, that the cumulative population of China, if massed together, could only be heard 60 miles away.
Yeah, it's disappointing, but that's the way it is.
Next week, let's do the what if everybody from China jumped off the chair, however.
Okay, we'll do that.
All right.
All right,
dude.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
4 degrees here at the diner. 4 degrees. Well, I don't know why I doubt that my great experiment questions will never be answered, because, of course, they always are. Ken from Chaska. How you doing, Ken?
Hi, James. Doing all right. How you doing?
I had asked, in regards to Runza sandwiches, what would be the connection between Sonny Bono, deceased, and the word pinza?
Well, it has to do with the song that we always laugh about when we hear it on the oldie station. He wrote Needles and Pins.
He wrote the song Needles and Pins.
They always sing Needles and Pins.
Right, because that's the way they sang it, Needles and Pins.
Exactly.
And I believe that's actually the way it should have been in the newspapers. And he said that Sonny, because that's what everybody around the office said. It's not pins, it's Pinza.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you get the red hot toothpick.
Thank you very much.
And if Joe from Minneapolis wants to stay on and tell us maybe who did that song, we'll bestow a toothpick on him as well. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
On the other side of the break, we'll talk to Mike from St. Paul and Joe, and then I probably will get to the tale of why I know Skip Humphrey is just a marvelous dancer. Swing style, no less. It's a tale where I come off exceedingly poorly, so you'll want to hear it. James Lalek's here at the Oh, wasn't that unusual? The chef is gone. Oh, here he comes. I hate that, because whenever he leaves, and he never leaves the grill, I figure he'll come back with a knife dripping with gruel or something, as though he had to disembowel.
I usually put the knife away just because it turns your stomach. But well, if you hold on.
People are eating. No, you weren't disemboweling
here.
A
How's that,
burglar
huh?
out there. Oh,
no, not the burglar.
The what? Ricola boys.
See? No, not the Ricola boys. Okay. No. It was I got some new beef.
Right.
I buy it on the hoof.
Lilac's here at the diner. Back right after this on KSDP AM 1500.
Once our lives were boring.
We were bored.
Really bored.
Chairman of the board.
Living on the island of Bora Bora.
But then we became
St. Croix Casino Boys!
We went to Turtle Lake.
We went to St. Croix Casino and Hotel.
We were players.
Power players.
We played blackjack with the recklessness and abandon of provoked Wolverines.
We played video poker remorselessly into the night.
We pulled slot machine handles like lactose intolerant dairy farmers urging magical cows to give forth their golden bounty.
Wow. Nice analogy, thanks. And I'm not saying we won all the time.
No, we're not saying that.
But we couldn't lose!
Join the St. Croix Casino Boys, where the fun never stops. Visit the St. Croix Casino and Hotel on Highway 8, Turtle Lake, Wisconsin, or call 1-800-YOU-GO-YOU-WIN. The St. Croix Chippewa invite everyone 21 and over to experience the luck of the turtle.
You enjoy great food. You enjoy a night out with friends and family. You like a restaurant with a friendly atmosphere. Here's Mike Gengler, owner of Golden's Restaurant.
Hi, this is Mike from Golden's. Some of you may already know me, many of you may not. I want to invite you to come on down and give us a try. This is what we have to offer. We have a full lunch and dinner menu. We run super specials every day, 14 items from $6.95 to $8.95. Includes a 21-item salad bar and homemade soup. We have an all-you-can-eat lunch buffet Monday through Friday for $6.95. We have a Sunday brunch from 10 to 2 that's $8.95. We have a great happy hour from 3 to 6 Monday through Friday. We have an excellent karaoke bar every Wednesday through Saturday and a reception hall fully catered with food and liquor.
What do you do on the weekends, Mike?
Friday nights we have an all-you-can-eat fish fry for 7 1/4, and we also have prime rib all-you-can-eat on Friday and Saturday nights. They also include the 21-item salad bar and soup.
Stop down to Golden's in Maplewood, 482-0384.
Some jobs just aren't worth it, like painting the house. So here's a smarter, hassle-free solution. Vinyl siding from Sears Home Central. It's the nicest way to say you'll never paint your house again. And Sears makes getting vinyl siding simple and affordable. Call 1-888-446-1400 for a free in-home estimate. Not available in all areas sold, furnished, and installed by a Sears authorized contractor. Name and license number on request. That's Sears Vinyl Siding, 1-888-446-1400.
Yum, dandy, dandy. Yum, dandy, hard candy.
Yeah, hard to resist Tastations. We're so smooth and all so dreamy. So hard to resist Tastations. Long-lasting, rich and creamy.
Brown butterscotch.
Chocolate man.
Caramel. Chocolate.
Yum, dandy, dandy. Yum, dandy, hard candy.
Hard to resist Tastations.
Tastations from Hershey.
So
hard to resist Tastations.
See, and if you cut like this, see, now watch, this is great. Watch what happens to the eyes. Isn't that cool? Now, if you remove the lids, though.
No.
Hold on, you gotta use a little knife for this.
No.
Watch this. Right in the coffee. Right in the coffee, huh? Am I good or am I good?
You're very good, Jeremy. But let me just suggest to you, for the purposes of keeping business steady here at the diner, that poking out the eyes of cows and making them fly from the kitchen into the drinks of the patrons does not necessarily ensure repeat business.
Oh, it's the Ricola, guys. They'll be back.
Put that head down.
Ricola.
Watch, I can make the mouth move.
If I trip over... No, put that head down.
Hi, James. How are you? Hi, Jimmy Lilacs from Fargo.
Please put the,
All right.
The severed cow head down. I like my meals to be rendered out of sight, thank you, and turned into nice little rounded patties before I get to them.
That's why I disappear sometimes.
I know. Pot patties have to be rounded. Anyway, Lilacs back here at the diner, 646-8255, 646-TALK on a lovely, bright, crystalline clear Saturday afternoon, 3.8 degrees. Mike from St. Paul, how you doing, Mike?
Good, and how are you?
Just dandy. Overwhelmingly spiffy.
Well, you know what I'd like to do? I would like to get the sea monkeys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And take them in a big tank out back of the diner, mm-hmm. and as we were discussing last time, give each team a little can of brain power, which is, in essence, what was it like? Was it made in cans, which used to blow.
Yeah, we were discussing this last week. Drain power was a can of hugely compressed air that people used to unclog their drains, and it was taken off the market because it was so powerful they would actually blow the drains apart and in some cases blow shards of PVC all the way through the mantle of the earth and have them come up from the ground in China. That's a powerful substance.
And that's hard on the singers.
Oh, gosh, that's awful. You're just walking around, and all of a sudden a piece of PVC from Northfield comes flying up the ground.
I'd like to teach them.
And there's many arteries down the leg. You sever those things, you bleed to death. So,
wow.
I mean, if you look back in the records, back in the 60s and 70s in China, they just had many cases of inexplicable people falling over and bleeding to death in China. And they found out it was the drain power compressed air canisters that were at work.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it'd be kind of like a little nuclear war between each warring faction.
You're trying to arm the sea monkeys?
Yes, we would arm the sea monkeys.
That's not possible. They have no arms, for one thing. Secondly, they are of no... They can't pick up a can of these things. It would be like giving ICBM missiles to mice. They're just out of scale.
Well, they'd have little task force that kind of, like, wrap their bodies together mm-hmm. and just jumped and landed on the little button or whatever that released the drain power.
Well, it's possible it could be done. I just don't think it's very likely.
You'd
have to assume a level of cooperative behavior and intelligence in sea monkeys that simply aren't there, or they would have risen up and destroyed us long ago.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I called about the personality of numbers, and
mm-hmm.
I really think there's a god and a devil of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The devil being zero,
mm-hmm.
the black, dark number,
uh-huh.
and the deity, which would be 10,
mm-hmm.
but he's a nice guy.
Well, that would go contrary to St. Anselm's proof of God, then, isn't it? St. Anselm said that God is greater than that which we can conceive, and we can conceive of something larger than 10, to be specific, 11.
Well, this is in the little world of 1 through 10
mm-hmm.
whole numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I really think more that 3 and 4 would be a couple than 2 and 3.
Why is that?
I think that 2 is just all alone.
Mm-hmm.
2, I think 2 would be red more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 1 would be white.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be like, as another caller was saying, the masculine white Superman
mm-hmm.
guy.
You know that we didn't even have the concept of zero until we borrowed it from the Arabs?
Yeah. Well,
which has always mystified me. How can you not have a concept of zero?
I know.
It just... When they found that out, did they slam their skulls and say, but of course, why didn't we think of it? A thousand years has passed, man. And zero never occurred to us. What did they say when the temperature was zero? What did they say when they didn't have
it? It's damn cold.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think it'd ever get down. Well, maybe at night in the desert, but I wouldn't think so.
Possibly not. Well, Mike, I will take your conception of the sliding scale of deities under consideration here.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye, Mike.
Put the head down.
Oh, sorry.
Put the head down. Joe from South Minneapolis, thanks for hanging on here.
Good afternoon, James.
How are you, sir?
I'm glad to hear you have landed on your larynx.
Ah, yes, and I got over the cold quickly, but of course I got at least 2 extra days of complaining around the house about it.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. I think I have an abstruse connection between Sonny Bono and Finza.
Mm-hmm.
They are both singers of Sicilian extraction, Salvatore Bono and Ezio Pinza, who was my favorite bass baritone, and I just loved him. He was a darling man and a wonderful singer.
You're kidding. That's the second, then, connection between Pinza and...
He's my favorite Dr. Malatesta in La Cita d'Amore.
Uh-huh.
And they're both of Sicilian extraction, and there you have it.
Now, the character Malatesta, that means what?
That means a bad head or a headache.
Exactly. Bad head. What a great name.
Just a wonderful part.
Mr. Headache.
I tried to sing it when I was 18 years old, and that's not a good idea. Not at all a good idea, especially when you have an 18-year-old's voice.
No, you can just feel the nodules growing in your larynx like barnacles on a battleship.
Oh, my goodness. But yes. Still, what a great man, and there's your connection.
Very good.
Okie doke.
Thanks, Joe. Bye-bye. So we have 2 oblique and not-so-oblique connections between the word Pinza and Sonny Bono. Rest in peace. All right, here's the dancing story. Here's the thing. Why I ended up dancing with Skip Humphrey last night. Not the two of us on the floor, even doing moves and the rest of it. Didn't tango with Skip. I've bowled with Skip. I've danced with Skip. I've done all these things with Skip because Skip is my wife's boss. Someday I'm going to call Dr. Laura and say, hi, Dr. Laura, Skip is my wife's boss. And she'll say, oh, good, before she realizes she has no idea what I'm talking about. Because it falls into the kids' moms, dads, uncles, cousins, third mother's brother.
She has to tell you to spend more time at home with your wife than you do with Skip.
Mm-hmm. Probably so. Now, you can have your disagreements with Skip on a variety of matters, and I do. That's what political figures are for, to marshal opinion for or against, again. But I like him. I like the guy. He's just a personable fellow. And I say that having bowled and danced with him. Every year at the Christmas party. I'm sorry. The holiday party. Carefully chosen to be near no holiday that anybody can think of. We wait until the holidays are over, and then they have the holiday party. A couple of years ago, it was held in a bowling alley. Last year, at the Women's Club in Minneapolis. This year, at the Caves. The Caves in St. Paul. Now, wonderful place. Actually, never been there before. Used to be an old they said it was a speakeasy, but I don't think so, because it opened in 1933 when liquor became readily available again. And the mood of the evening, though, was because it used to be a place to go drink in the glamorous old 30s, was a gangster evening. So here you had all of the people from the Attorney General's office dressed up in gangster costumes, or what some people interpreted to be gangster costumes. The old glamorous days, of course, of chalk-striped suits and big hats, and one guy actually had spats on. Spats! I hadn't seen spats in years. Well, at some point here, everybody had to say the same thing. Did you see the bullet hole in the fireplace? See the bullet hole in the fireplace? That's how authentic this place is. Never could find the bullet hole. No one could find the bullet hole in the fireplace. But you like going to a place that has a historical bullet hole in the fireplace. You just don't like going to a place that has a fresh bullet hole. If there's about 40 years between you being there and the bullet hole being there, that's okay. That's picturesque. But not fresh. Historic bullet holes are good. So at some point in the evening, the band, which was... wonderful. Vic, what was his name? Vic something or other. Your basic lounge crooner singing Dean Sinatra tune. Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra tune.
Dean Sinatra, they've taken cloning too far.
No, actually, they were in a car wreck. They were hideously mangled, conjoined into one. Doctors could only save one person, so they created Dean Sinatra. Uber lounge singer. At some point, they had dancing. Now, I dread... dancing. Back in my 20s, when I would go out and do the old funky white boy twitch, like some sort of mad rain dance to get women to appear. That was okay. I could do that because the music was loud and you could make up your steps and everybody was sort of thrashing in an alcoholic haze anyway, so it didn't really matter what you did. And women generally appeared because women, of course, love to dance. And guys mostly dance because women love to dance. Well, they were going to have swing dancing at this thing. And they were going to have lessons. So to start us all off, to show us how wonderful dancing could be, Skip Humphrey gets out on the floor with a dance instructor and starts spinning around. And Skip is really good. He's bouncing all over the place. He knows everything. He's dipping, he's swinging. I, at some point, thought he was going to take the instructor and hurl her up in the air or something and twirl her on a finger, throw her under his legs, dash her around by one arm, you know, grab her by the legs and swing her until her head hit the wall or something. That was a very unpopular step. It only lasted for a very short amount of time back in the 40s. But he was a good dancer. And then after this example, the rest of us are supposed to go out there and do it. Well, I go out there with my wife, and I'm thinking this. I'm thinking, I'm going to get husband points for trying. I'm going to get lots of husband points for trying. But at some point, my inability to do this is going to lead to a rapid diminution of husband points. As a matter of fact, I'm going to end up in the hole when it comes to husband points at the end of this. So we start dancing just a little bit. And I'm getting the basic steps down pat. I know how to hold my wife without, you know, squeezing her to death or anything of the sort. And we're walking back and forth. And I feel ridiculous. I just feel ridiculous.
What dance were you doing?
It doesn't matter.
I mean, like a polka or...
No, just swing dancing.
Oh,
okay. The most,
right.
most basic steps that there are. And I still feel like an idiot. I'm trying to be graceful, but I feel like the mechanical wind-up man. Like there should be a big little key in the back that my wife turns in order to make me do these steps. Now, if we just played the music and gone on, I could have done that. I could have walked back and forth in the proper steps, and that all would have been fine. My husband point meter would have been way up there. I would have been a happy man. But they keep teaching us more steps and more steps of increasing complexity. Ridiculous steps that there's no way I'm going to remember this stuff. So by the end of this, I feel like a recently reanimated Frankenstein with stiff limbs. I feel like I'm tottering around on 2x4s. I feel like the mummy dipped in shellac. And then, you know, attached to strings and jerked around. And I'm starting to panic. I'm starting to get a little sweat in the back of my neck because I can just see everybody looking and pointing and laughing at this idiot tottering around here with this beautiful, graceful woman in his arms. And I can feel my husband points diminishing. And there, in the back of my mind, spinning around the room like a dervish, is Skip Humphrey, you know, who's 50-plus years or so, and as graceful as they come. My idea of dancing is essentially watching others doing and tapping my toe. I can tap my toe like you wouldn't believe. I got more grace and more rhythm in this little foot here when it actually comes to dancing. So what I did was I went through all the steps until my wife finally looked and said, "You're really miserable, aren't you?" And I said, "Do you know there's a bullet hole over in the fireplace?" That was the end of that. Lawrence wants to tell us a story, and we'll hear it right after this. James Lilacs here at the diner on KSTP AM 1500.
At the new Spence Diamonds in Roseville, you'll find a spectacular collection of engagement and wedding ring designs, the largest by far in the Twin Cities area. In total, over 3,000 styles are on display. And because Spence Diamonds manufactures the rings we sell, any of our designs can be made in any carat of gold or platinum. Whether you're spending a few hundred dollars or several thousand dollars, you choose the shape, size, and grade of diamond to be set in your ring. At the Spence Showroom in Roseville, any of our 3,000 designs can be made to fit any budget. Your diamond ring will be custom made to your specifications at a price only an importer and manufacturer can offer. I'm Doug Spence, inviting you to discover the new Spence Diamond Showroom in Roseville. I promise you a very unique, worthwhile experience.
Spence Diamonds, the only store that only deals in diamonds. In Roseville, on County Road B2 near Snelling, right across from Rosedale Center. Shop weeknights till 8, weekends till 5.
Salt. Table salt. Garlic salt. Seasoned salt. Light salt. Kosher salt.
Salt substitute.
Pharmaceutical salt. Popcorn salt. Canning and pickling salt. Salt blends. Industrial salt. Salt that people gargle with. Salt that melts a gazillion tons of ice on the streets of Buffalo. People at Morton's Salt who make all these salts also make the best water softener salt you can buy. It's called Morton System Saver Pellets, and it's trusted in more homes than any other brand. Of course, maybe you think it's no big deal which brand of salt you put in your water softener. I mean, the only thing it's going to affect is your entire water supply, bath water, drinking water, laundry water, cooking water, the water you
Morton System Saver in the familiar yellow bag. For soft water, nothing works harder.
guaranteed.
Hey, look, there's no cigarettes on the counter.
Just ask for a pack of lights.
No, you ask. You look older.
Hi, can I help you?
Yeah, could I have... Could I just have some gum, please?
This is the kind of roadblock our children need to face every time they try to get tobacco. Minnesota's youth smoking rates are higher than the national average. Nearly 10% of sixth graders and 40% of high school seniors have smoked. But there is hope. Studies show that kids who don't try tobacco before 18 are unlikely to ever smoke. If we all do our part so kids don't start, we can make a difference. So what can you do?
I told my kids about the new state law and its penalties for minors who try to buy tobacco. I also thanked my local merchant for checking IDs when a young-looking customer asks for cigarettes.
Let's make 1998 the year we all do our part so kids don't start. For a free toolkit with information on what you can do, call the American Cancer Society at 1-800-582-5152. That's 1-800-582-5152.
This message brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Health and the American Cancer Society, Minnesota Division.
Ricola.
Oh, shut up!
Go back and look at the old films of people dancing to music like this. It's like it's innate. You're born at a certain time, it was in the atmosphere, you just knew how to do it. I lumber like my legs are filled with concrete. Oh, it's such a pain.
Well, and this, at least you didn't have to do the Macarena.
The Macarena? That I can do. Lawrence, how you doing?
Hello.
How are you tonight? Hi. Today, actually.
Today, good. I've been bouncing around the city doing Saturday chores, listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my conclusion. I can't get into Sonny Bono stories, and getting into numbers like doesn't thrill me either. But here's something that you might want to try to get a discussion on, because I think it was pretty fascinating.
Okay.
So take a look at all the top stories of 1997, whatever they may have been, either personally or presented in the media, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's one that I think everybody missed, okay? Let's say, for example, the bombing or the trial of Denver is significant because that deals with some freedoms. And let's say that Mother Teresa's death was important because, there was a very good person who did a lot for a lot of other people. And let's even say El Nino really wreaked havoc in the weather worldwide, okay? I measure what's a significant story by how it impacts the general population.
Right.
Here's my number one story. Late in December, actually it was about mid-December, the world's first commercial, not owned by any government, satellite was put into space.
Mm-hmm.
And for what is actually a moderate fee, you can actually have the unit take snapshots of things anywhere around the world.
Anywhere you want.
And what can you use it for? Well, let's start with the evil side. Boy, you can believe the drug cartel is going to love this. Now, how that's going to get regulated, I don't know.
Right.
But someone pointed out to me that when you talk about a worldwide drug trade and you want to keep track of certain things, there is one way you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
On the positive side, though, and this is one I hadn't thought of until someone told me, is that when you look at people who deal in agricultural products in terms of futures for wheat and soybeans and oats and all those types of things, one of the things that they always try to determine is how well the crops are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So typically they have people who drive around and various agricultural communities and look at the crops.
Yeah, it'd be my grandpa.
Right,
he used to drive around in his fedora and look at the crops.
Or you have people who fly in planes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Now all you do is you take a snapshot of Brazil, or you take a snapshot in Russia, or you take a snapshot in the United States, and son of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You can determine where to bet your future. So there's a positive thing that can happen.
Oh, it's extraordinary, yeah.
So,
And I'm planning to use it to see if any of my neighbors have junk or cars in their backyard.
But I thought it was interesting because, A, the media didn't report that as significant. And I'm sorry, Princess Di's death, although tragic, is not significant in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that might be something that you might want to throw out to your guests in terms of how they see that.
No, you're quite right, Lawrence. Often the stories that are the most important are the ones that you get buried on page 5, 6, or 7.
And why are they buried?
Because of a media conspiracy by the Illuminati.
Because, exactly.
I don't know if it's a media conspiracy. Kidding. I just think we dive too much into what's happening on TV, what's happening in sports, and all this other stuff, as opposed to what is important in life.
I agree. Although I was heartened to see today in the front page of the Strip that the top story above the fold is Indonesia continues to go into the tank. I'm glad we're running these stories because if something really bad comes out of this, it would be nice if people knew exactly why.
Why?
And I have the feeling that if anything really bad economically steamrolled over this country in the next year because of what's happening in Asia, that most people would be utterly at sea, even though there have been various media organs explaining it to them over the past year.
Yeah, and you know what? I had a meeting yesterday with this chief financial officer of the company that I work for, and that was one of the topics of discussion, what's going to be impact on our company, which will probably be minimal.
Mm-hmm.
But the rumblings of what could happen for the U.S. was self-evident, but probably not as bad as people think, because the U.S. dollar remains pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I throw that out for discussion and see, maybe some of your listeners might figure out whether or not that's significant. What you could do with a spy satellite if you had a couple hundred dollars and you wanted to check on your neighbor's junk car.
We'll see what happens on the other side of the news. Thanks, Lawrence.
Yep.
Bye-bye. And we'll see you on the other side of the news. This is James Lilacs here at the Good Old Diner on KSTP AM 1500 St. Paul, Minneapolis.
From ABC News, I'm Bob Hart. It's a long, hard haul for power company workers trying to get electric.